everybody.
Yeah.
Welcome to Good News. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. I'm Joey.
And I'm Amanda.
Before we get to the good, great, grand news, let's talk
challenges.
Challenges. And the question is, did she do it? Can she get one? Here she is stepping up to the plate. She's 0 for 7 the past 7 attempts. Can she finally complete a challenge? Crowd is on their feet, holding their breath. Here comes the answer.
Yes.
She did it.
I completed the challenge.
She did it.
And I actually even did 100 more.
Whoa.
Sit-ups than I said I would.
That's a winner.
So my challenge was to do 100 sit-ups every single day for the past week. And I think I was already like 4 days in and I still didn't do any. So what Joey and I did is we did a power hour
yep.
to see how many sit-ups
yeah.
I can do in an hour and Joey did how many push-ups he could do in an hour.
Yep.
So I ended up doing over 800 sit-ups. Which means
you got your weekly goal.
I got my weekly goal
all in an hour
of 700. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to do a power hour. It's like there's nothing else that you have to. I mean, I don't know. Consistency is better, of course.
Yeah. Well, what I like about, and I'll talk about the power hour too with mine is so basically what we did is when the hour struck. So say you know you hit 2 o'clock
mm-hmm.
for the next hour. You know you give yourself a couple breaks, but you try and sort of compete with yourself. And see how many you can do of whatever in the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're breaking it down to 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, so we logged every 10 minutes. So, you know, Amanda would do like as many sit-ups as she could. And then
yeah, like I started with like 250, I think, or something.
Yeah. And then whenever you were like, oh, when you were like stopping for a second, you would call out the number and I would write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with me with push-ups. I'd do like 50 and then stop and then write down 50. And then, you know, wait a couple seconds, do like 30 and write it down. Mm-hmm. Every 10 minutes, we checked our log and it was sort of you were competing with yourself from the 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
And trying to match that.
Yeah.
It was really fun. You turn it into a game.
It was really fun.
A competition.
It was really fun.
So you got your weekly goal in an hour.
I did.
Yeah, okay.
The whole point is consistency. The whole point is consistency.
Yeah.
But
what if you did a power hour every week?
Then that's being consistent, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, no, every day.
What?
It's what? About doing things every day. Yeah.
Okay.
So what I will say is something else that I added that I'm going to add for next week's challenge is, so we got the bike, which I think we already talked about.
I don't think we have.
Our stationary bike? We haven't?
I don't know. Let's just
talk about it again.
We did.
Yeah, I could have sworn we did.
Anyway, if you're new here, we got a stationary bike that we put out on our balcony. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. So for the past 3 days, I have been using it and doing 3 miles on the bike. And it's been so nice. I just close my eyes and I imagine that we are in our dream neighborhood, which is here in Los Angeles, which we walk once a week there mm-hmm. for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm riding my bike on the balcony and my eyes are closed, but in reality, in my brain, I'm riding the bike in like this beautiful, gorgeous, amazing neighborhood. My parents are riding behind me. Joey's ahead.
This reminds me of Happy Gilmore when he's like, go to your happy place. And he's like, my happy place. And he goes into this other land. This is like,
yeah,
I hear the music playing like, dee, 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 dee.
Yeah. I don't remember that part, but.
Well, you go to your Amanda place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was really nice. And then today, so back to that concept. I'm going to try to do 3 miles a day on the bike.
Okay.
We will see. That's my new goal for this week.
Fantastic.
And I just wanted to add to this just because who knows, somebody that's listening, they might use this and it might make them happy. Today I was on the balcony and it was our balcony is very small, but I laid out there.
You have a window of sun every day.
We do. It's from like sunrise till about
noon, one.
Yeah. And today I laid out there, I put my headphones in and I put beach sounds. Mm-hmm. And I had the sun on me with my eyes were closed. I'm telling you, my brain was in Bora Bora. I was so relaxed and so happy.
You looked like you were in Bora Bora. Relaxed and I was so, blended into the floor.
Yeah, I was so relaxed.
I did not complete my challenge. I'm 0 for 8. Boo!
What?
Well, I did. I was supposed to do 200 push-ups a day.
Oh, but... The power hour didn't make up for it?
No, it didn't get there.
Oh, okay.
Because the power hour, the one bad part about it.
Your wrists.
Yeah, my wrists were like snapping. So I have a new challenge, a new workout challenge.
Okay.
Because you and I have been so busy here. I need to like put working out in the schedule. Like yeah. I have to, uh-huh. I have to really, instead of just.
You should just do it after your morning stretches every day.
I know. I really should. But so next time we do, I want to do the power hour again. Do you want to do it again?
Sure.
So this week, this isn't a challenge, but for this, but I just want to say, I want to beat whatever I did. So I'll pull up my stats from last mm-hmm. week. Got to beat those.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Second thing. So I have I've been doing a lot of research on YouTube about like at home workouts that you mm-hmm. could do. And because I was going to the gym a lot. I was doing like big workouts in the gym every day. Mm-hmm. And now my arms are turning into toothpicks. So I got to do big workouts here. So I found these great workouts to do.
Okay.
And 3 days of workouts of like strength building workouts.
Okay.
Then the power hour is the fourth day. Sounds and then great. 5, 6, 7 are the bike. So I have a whole regimen planned out. So my challenge is to complete the week. You're looking at me like...
Yeah, you lost me.
Why?
I have no idea what you said.
Basically, I made a week from now until a week from today.
Okay.
I made a schedule for my workouts. Each day has a challenge in itself. So each day is a challenge. You're not
so
liking
what's
this.
Your challenge?
To complete the daily workouts because they're hard.
So every day you're going to...
First day is a full body... strength building workout.
Okay.
Then bike day. Then ab day. Then bike day. Then power hour day.
Okay.
Then chest day. Then bike day. And that should hit my 7.
Okay, cool.
If I calculated that wrong, add another bike day and there's your 7. So that's what it is.
Okay.
Does that make more sense?
Yeah.
I have all the workouts. I can say them right now, or if you are interested in doing this with me, you can message me and I'll send you a screenshot of my workout.
Yeah.
Do that instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please don't read it. Yeah. So then we're going to do high knees for 45 yeah. seconds, hit the ground for some burpees. Shall we move on to the good news?
Yes.
All right. First up, a happy, 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 happy birthday to Crescencia Garcia in the Bronx, New York. She's 100 years old this weekend.
Happy birthday.
Triple Didge, 100. Oh, and she just got out of the ICU for beating COVID-19. 100 years old. She got home just in time to celebrate her 100-year-old birthday.
Wow.
Is that unbelievable?
Yes, that is a great, it's going to be a great birthday.
Yeah, she just beat it just in time to get home for it. She looks like the absolute sweetest person. She was in the Women's Army Corps during World War II. She served in England caring for wounded soldiers. She's a legend.
Yeah.
And the story was first reported by David Begnaud from CBS. So she's just very inspiring, incredible. And I just wanted to give her a shout out and say happy birthday, Crescencia. What a special one for you this year.
Happy birthday, Crescencia.
All right, here we go.
I hope that's how you say it.
I hope so, too. So Spain is starting to see the number of new cases of COVID-19 slow down. However, Spain was one of the worst hit countries.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the chaos there, a taxi driver in Madrid had been taking patients to the hospital for weeks for free.
That's so nice.
The driver, whose name is unknown at the moment, appears to be in his 40s, has been putting himself at major risk in doing so. Not potential patients, known infected patients.
And he hasn't gotten it?
Well, the other day, the Ramon y Cajal, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, health center in Madrid called him and said they needed him to come pick up a patient. Mm-hmm. And as he always would, he was there in a second. He entered the hospital, as he always would, to assist the patient out to his taxi.
Oh my gosh.
But this time, there was no patient. Instead, he was greeted upon walking in the front door to a massive round of applause from dozens of healthcare workers who had lined both hallways of the entrance, doctors, nurses, receptionists, everybody.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm going to cry.
They were giving the driver the standing ovation he deserved. It was one of the most moving videos I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh. I already feel like I'm going to cry listening to it. I can't imagine watching
it. I got my good crying today thanks to this video. The driver, he walks in, the doors open, and they all burst into an applause and cheering. And it takes him a second to like...
Right, he's what, so unexpected.
So unexpected. Yeah. And once he realizes what's happening, he sort of like falls into the door and he's sort of leaning on this door. Mm-hmm. And he keeps like, he doesn't know what to do with his hands. Like he just couldn't believe that this was happening. And for a minute straight, a whole minute, healthcare workers are all standing, facing him, clapping and cheering through their masks and gloves. The driver was moved to tears, as I was watching the video. And then a doctor stepped forward and presented the driver with two envelopes. One was filled with money. And the other was his test results for COVID-19, which came back negative.
Wow.
That taxi driver, that is the definition of a hero.
Yeah.
He's putting himself in harm's way every day, multiple times every day for other people, asking for absolutely nothing in return.
That is so nice.
And today he got the ovation that he deserves. Amazing.
So incredible.
Is that outstanding?
Yeah, what an angel.
We'll watch it after this. But I got my good cry in thanks to it. All right, next story is movie worthy. This would be like, make a movie about this, please. Yeah. I would love to watch it. It's like Forrest Gump mixed with, like, what's a dog and best friend movie? Like Lassie?
Oh my gosh, I haven't even seen that since I was a little kid.
You remember that movie, right? Yeah, I guess. All right, this next story is a real-life Forrest Gump Lassie combo.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Okay, so Alixin Mangunduk is a 34-year-old Malaysian man who had been doing some work in Japan over the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. He had just flown back to Malaysia a few weeks ago, and despite him not showing any symptoms, he was afraid that he could still be a carrier, and he was worried about passing it to others, despite not having any symptoms himself.
Yeah.
He was about 75 miles from his hometown of Kota Marudu, and he traveled a lot for work, and he usually would take public transportation back to his home, or a relative would come pick him up. But now, he didn't want to put anyone at risk. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to take public transportation. He didn't want a family member to drive out to get him. And he landed in the state capital, which is considered a red zone right now. So he knew he had to get out of there. So he hit the road by foot. Alixin is the youngest of 12 siblings and has two kids of his own. And he knew he had to get back to them. So off he strolled, 75 miles away.
Oh my goodness.
And early on in his journey, something bizarre happened. He was passing a cemetery very early in his walk. He had just sort of started. Mm-hmm. And a dog ran out from inside the cemetery and ran right up to Alixin. And Alixin just continued to walk, and he noticed the dog was following him.
Oh my god.
And then the dog was walking alongside of him. And Alixin kind of smiled to himself and like, oh, hi dog.
Yeah.
Kept on walking. And he thought the dog would eventually leave him and run away or see something else that, you know, got his attention. Mm-hmm. But hours went by and the dog stayed by his side. And days went by and the dog stayed by his side. And they walked for days, the two of them, stopping to rest at bus stops occasionally, Going into convenience stores for food. He had to get food for himself and sardines for the dog. And through the rain, through the sunshine, they powered on. They hit many roadblocks where they would get stopped by police or other security guards.
What a story. This is outstanding. This is amazing.
So he would get stopped by security guards or police officers, and each time Elixin would explain to them what he was doing, and every time they would laugh at him and say, no, you are not doing that. And he would have to convince them, yes, I am. I don't know this dog, but he's been walking with me. And the officers would say, well, we will drive you. And he said, I don't want to go into your car. I don't want to put this dog into your car. This dog is with me now. And I don't want to put anybody at risk. I'm going to trudge on.
Oh my gosh.
3 days later, he made it. He went to the hospital in his hometown. He got tested. He went to his family's farm, but he did not see anyone yet. They knew he was doing this. They knew he was coming, but they all distanced themselves from him. Instead, he quarantined himself with his new best friend, of course, in a small hut on the property as he waited for his test results. But like I said, his family knew he was doing this.
Must have been so tired.
Yeah, God. So here's an interesting part, and I read countless articles about this situation, and there's a part of it that's sort of wishy-washy. I read parts of this in some stories, and some stories it was different. So I sort of combined stories for this next part.
Okay.
And, this happened during the journey. So at the halfway point, at some point halfway, his brother drove by him. One of his brothers drove right by him as he was walking on the road, 75 miles. And he waved to his brother, and his brother waved back, but the brother didn't recognize him because he was wearing a face shield because the sun was so bright on him. So the brother, but he tried to flag down his brother, but he didn't recognize him, so he drove away. He took the mask off then, and hours later, somebody else drove by who he knew, recognized him. They stopped and spoke for a second, and that person had gone to go find the brother to say, you just drove past him. That was him. Because the brother saw him with the mask on, didn't recognize, and yeah, he had a dog.
You would think he has a phone and the brother has a phone.
His phone had been dead.
Oh.
Alexin's phone had been dead for days.
Oh, okay.
So, and also he was like, this guy's got a dog. Alexin doesn't have a dog. Right, so yeah. That's not him.
Yeah.
That's
like me seeing you with a dog somewhere. Like, what?
Yeah, right. And I had a thing on, you'd be like, there's no way that's Joe. Yeah,
so, I would recognize you
by the walk,
by everything,
the strolly. the family friend went, found the brother, said, you just passed your brother. So he drove back, found him again. And this next part is sort of, I don't know for sure, but what I believe to be true is that they had a conversation. The brother went back to the family house with another relative, drove back to find him with another car. They hopped in together and left the car for Alexin to drive the rest of the way home. But he did walk 3 days straight to get to that point.
Wow.
Yes. Like you said, he was wiped out. He got to
car must have been, what a treat.
Glorious.
Yeah.
So like I said, he was camping out in a hut on the family property, and he just got his test results back. He is negative. He does not have it. And he has been reunited with his family ever since.
Oh, that's such a great story. That's a movie. Yeah. That's a movie.
Yeah. I mean,
that you would watch.
Yes. And you just want to see that journey. You want to see him walk and just.
And like what he comes across and the weather, I'm sure.
Okay. So
like,
I wanted to bring up one. I wanted to get your thoughts on something here. Because you believe in reincarnation. That dog came running out of the cemetery.
Yes. Yeah. What, 1,000,000%.
Right?
For me, I think that dog, it was some way, either a relative that passed, or some spirit guide or something like that.
I read every article I could about this story. Even after I knew the whole story pretty much, you know, like the back of my hand, I was looking for someone
to mention
just to find out if there was a relative that had recently passed away or something, or like my imagination was running wild. Yeah. Like maybe he had a brother that had passed away, but he would walk with his brother all the time or something like that. But yeah, I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's exactly what I thought.
And he's gonna the dog stays with him. He's living with him still. He's
part of the family now.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Amazing story.
You good to move on?
Yes, I want to watch the movie now.
Forrest Lassie. So 89-year-old Teresa Provo, people call her Terry, so we're going to call her Terry.
Mm-hmm.
She lives alone in Chicago, Illinois. She's 89 years old. When the world was put on lockdown, the first thing that crossed Grandma Terry's mind was her family. Spread out all over the country, she did the best thing she could do in this moment to help the ones she loves. So she got out her sewing kit and went to work. She gathered all the fabric she could find in her home, and 89-year-old Grandma Terry sewed every single one of her family members a mask and mailed them out to everyone. 50 family members.
Oh my gosh.
She's 89.
That's so sweet. All alone.
From Chicago to Wisconsin to Florida to Minnesota, even to California, the masks were landing. Terry's family members started receiving their masks, but they weren't just random fabrics that she had just found and whipped together and said, well, this is for this member, this is for this member, this is for this. No. Not Terry. Not Grandma Terry. She personalized each mask using fabric to match that member, that family member. So some...
Their personalities.
Exactly. Mm. So some received masks with Chicago Cub fabric, which that's the right mask. Nicely done. Go Cubbies. Some with handwritten notes of encouragement on the fabric if she thought that that person needed it. And some with just designs and colors that Grandma Terry would look at and think, that reminds me of so-and-so.
So thoughtful.
She did all of this while listening to her favorite band, The Beatles, and word got out about her accomplishments. And a club that she belongs to, which is called the Red Hat Society, which is basically a club of elders who they like to do things like go see performances and, you know, participate in events.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this, you know, close group. And once they heard what she had done, they were like, well, we want to join that. And they all got out their sewing kits and they all sewed together 600 masks.
Whoa.
For all of the nursing home residents and workers where Terry lives.
That is so nice.
Grandma Terry, you are a legend and a hero, and we love you.
That is so awesome.
Is that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
We just got our own customized face masks.
I know.
It feels so nice to have somebody make you a face mask.
I know, it does feel really nice. It's so great. Shout out to Nicole Suarez.
Nicole, we love you, Nicole.
So great.
So that's going to wrap up our stories this week that we are highlighting. But I just wanted to say there are so many good things going on around the world amidst this chaos. Just remember that. And thank you to everybody who has reached out and submitted stories for us to cover. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, for reaching out to us. It means the world. And thank you, my sweet, beautiful, amazing wife.
Thank you.
For being the sweet, beautiful, amazing wife that you are. You are incredible, and I just wanted to tell you that.
You're the best husband ever. And thank you, everybody that's listening. You know, it is so nice that we have built this community.
Yeah.
And we talk to you guys every single day.
Yeah.
Or we are connected every day with all of you through social media, through Instagram.
And when we're not talking to you, we're talking about you because I'm saying like, oh, look at this person
look
sent
at this
us.
Comment. Yeah, look at this message. Comment.
Yeah.
We're doing that constantly. So just know you are loved and we wish you the best. And we're sending you a virtual hug.
You know what?
Does virtual count when it's...
Yeah.
Through like a podcast?
Let's go with it. Sounds good.
Virtual hug.
You know what? If you need a hug right now, bring it in. Come on. Get in here. Oh, this is nice. Have a fantastic week, everybody. We will be back on Wednesday.
Yes.
And then I will be back on Friday.
Yes.
We love you all so freaking much. Oh, you got one more thing.
I was going to say, if you haven't listened to Joey's segment for last Friday, it was amazing. It's about little Brussels sprout man. Real story that happened in our lives.
Yeah, it's actually a poem this week. It's called The Little Brussels Sprout Man. And I had so much fun writing it and reading it. And just want to thank everybody for reaching out and everybody who enjoyed it.
Especially shout out to my parents, actually.
Their reaction to the poem.
Speaking of my parents, that would be kind of cool to have them on Wednesday.
Let's do it. Let's do that.
Yeah, have my parents on.
Done.
Yeah, so you guys can know a little bit about my parents too. Joey's parents have been on the podcast.
We're doing that. They're calling in.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right.
They're amazing. Big fans. I love how much they love this podcast. They call us after a lot of the episodes. You're like,
the way your parents reacted to the little Brussels sprout man.
Oh my gosh, they loved it.
I felt like I was floating. Like
my dad was
They were just pumping me full of compliments and I was just floating away.
Yeah.
We will see you then. We love you all so freaking much. You guys are the best. Thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.